Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Later on in tonight's show, I will be talking with John, who's got plenty of stories about UFOs, Bigfoot, orbs, tree structures, and more. But coming up first, I have a sort of breaking story. It literally just happened. Octavian was coming to my place to pick something up, and on the way here, he saw something. This is just a few miles away from my house. So, Octavian literally just stopped by to pick something up. And you look shook.
Yeah. Because, I mean, look right at me, dude. Whatever it was, it was big. Okay, so I'm here to pick up something up. Get off 83, exit 8, Glen Rock. 5 minutes, really windy roads. Hex Hall is right there. I'm straight, and then there's like a turn up ahead. As I'm coming up to the turn, to my right, something very big and black is peering outside of the tree. Sees me coming, turns and walks into the woods. I just saw it start to walk. By the time I got to where it was, I didn't see anything. At the same time I saw it, my employer called asking some questions. That isn't significant to anybody who hasn't listened to other episodes, but it has been at least once before, where you and I, Tim, have been out looking for weird stuff, and the second weird stuff starts happening, my employer starts calling me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I know it was very tall, black, humanoid, I don't know.
On two legs.
Yes, on two legs.
Estimate height?
9-10 feet.
So huge.
Yeah.
Broad?
Yes.
Wow, and near Hex Hollow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So I wanted to get this recorded, but it was super fresh in Octavian's memory here. All right.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to go look for this thing.
Okay.
So, this just happened tonight. I went right out there and followed Octavian. He had to go back to his place. But I followed him out. And he showed me where it was. He stopped and showed me where he saw this creature.
Like right there. That's the best way I can describe it to you. Is like,
you getting a better sense of how tall it was?
Yeah. Yeah.
How tall?
Its chest, like that second branch up there,
Yeah?
It was like its nipples right there. Like, if it, I didn't see any nipples, but like...
Yeah, wow. Wow.
Because it must have been backed up, because, like, I could see its eyes through the leaves. So I can't... I can't really give you much better than that.
Yeah.
It may have been here. It may have been... I don't... It was somewhere in next to this tree.
Okay.
And like standing, and then I saw it turn, and then I was off.
It moved fast or slow?
Medium.
Yeah, just normal.
Kind of. Yeah, like
speed.
There was no urgency.
Yeah. All right.
Damn, I wish I could stay.
I've never even been up this road, and I'm about to go up here.
You know what? What time is it? Can I get them back?
Yeah. From where he showed me on the tree, it was at least as tall as he said. This thing had to be massive. After this, he got in the car and we rode down the road that the creature crossed and looked around a bit. And I brought him back. We had a little bit more conversation in the car, which the engine was too loud and it didn't really come through in the recording. But one of the things I asked Octavian is, you know, you said it was black. How black was it? And he said, oh yeah, it was blacker than black. It stood out against the night. That's how I saw it. Where he saw the creature turn around and walk to, literally over a little hill, is Hex Hollow. I drove around a bunch. I looked a bunch. I didn't see anything. There was a possible call that sounded like maybe a dog, but not quite like a dog, and that didn't come up in the recording either. So this just happened. Very exciting. I will be in Hex Hollow tomorrow, hiking and seeing what I can see, because like I said, this happened right there. I want to thank Octavian for giving us the scoop. I mean, minutes after it happened, he was shook up. I could tell whatever happened shook him up. So stay tuned. Maybe there will be more. Octavian can be found at Strange Dominions Podcast. That's strangedominionspodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, before I talk with John, I want to thank our patrons. Thank you so much, patrons. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for helping us make Strange Familiars. If you like what we do and you want to help us continue to make Strange Familiars and get extra content, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All of our patrons get commercial-free versions of the weekly episodes, plus extra episodes every month. For more information, go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. That's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. You can also help the show by making a donation. In the show notes, under every episode, is a paypal.me link. If you click on that, you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. That helps a whole lot as well. And I want to thank Karen P. for making a PayPal donation. Thank you so much, Karen. That's a huge help. All right, now I'm going to get to my conversation with John. It turns out that we had read John's Bigfoot encounter on one of the listener story shows, but it's always more powerful, in my opinion, to hear it directly from the witness, and I get to ask some follow-up questions and so forth. But John also has stories of UFOs and orbs and tree structures and even a nighttime visitor. Let's go ahead and hear from John. I'd like to welcome John to Strange Familiars. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, thank you, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we have a few experiences to talk about. Sounds like quite a few. And we talked a little bit about where we wanted to start, and you know, of course, you mentioned the magic Bigfoot, and you know, I always like Bigfoot. So cool to start with that, or do you want to start with something else?
Well, I mean, I prefer to refer to myself as an experiencer. And I know from listening to your show, there are lots of other people who have that title.
Yeah. I think when I started the show, and years ago, I think the general idea was that, like, you know, oh, people don't tend to experience, you know, more than one thing. But the longer I do this, it's like, nah, I think it's way more common for people to experience multiple things as time goes on.
Yeah. The first experience I ever had, I personally don't remember because I was so young. It was actually a story from my mother who has had a few of her own experiences. But my family used to rent a cabin. I live in Indiana, and we used to rent a cabin in southern Indiana, in Nashville, Indiana. And the people who live in this area will know that location well. And the town sits in a little valley, and we would rent a cabin up on the hill. Overlooked it. And according to her, we were there one autumn day. And I think she said it was probably in the evening. And there were lights above the town. And according to her, my entire family, I have two other siblings, her and my father, all stood on the back patio overlooking the town for quite a while, watching these lights of different colors drift about up in the sky. And I have zero memory of this, but she talked of it very fondly.
Did it seem to be like just lights, or did they seem to be attached to a craft, or more like just orbs? Or
that's about as much detail as she'll go into with the story. Mm-hmm. But she's always very excited to talk about it. But it's like, yeah, I was probably two. Not a clue. She said, I noticed it as a child. I interactively pointed at the lights, but I have no memory of it. Mm-hmm. But I like to talk, when I talk about these things, I like to go in categories. So I do have one UFO memory that I remember very clearly. And I use the term UFO in the most broad of terms, unidentified flying. That thing is in the sky and I don't know what it is. But I was, I believe, fifth or sixth grade in central Indiana. The majority of my stories take place in central Indiana. I was at a friend's house, and we were backyard playing. And for some reason, my friend needed to go inside. And I stayed out just to be a kid outside on a beautiful, clear summer day. And for some reason, I decided to look up in the clear sky, not a cloud up there. And I see this thing. And by thing, I mean little white square shape up in the sky. And I remember just standing there looking at this thing for a few minutes, not very long, before my friend came back out, noticed me looking up at the sky and looked up and goes, hey, what is that? And me going, I don't know. What is that? And we probably stood that looking at this thing for minutes, being kids, just going, bouncing back and forth off each other, what we thought it was. And we referred to it as the ceiling tile, because that's the closest we could comprehend what we were looking at was like a ceiling tile you would have at school.
Sure, yeah.
Up in the sky. And I mean, it was pretty high up there. And I do not... And I don't criticize anyone in their beliefs. I don't believe in the whole domed earth theory that we're underneath a ceiling. But that's kind of what it looked like. Oh, it looked like someone had put a ceiling tile up in the sky, you know, and we were accidentally seeing it.
Was it stationary?
Yes, never moved. And I don't recall seeing anything else in the sky at the time.
And did you eventually just, as kids, just go about your day and
lost interest and went back to being kids, but...
Like, just generally, it's really hard to estimate the size of things in the sky, I know, but just like if you held your arm up at arm's length, would your thumb have, you know, covered it? Was it that small?
Or... Yes. Mm-hmm. Very easily. It was pretty up there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it had the color and... You know, from that distance, you really can't see texture, but it felt like it had the texture, the bumpiness of a ceiling tile. But it was up there and it never moved. And then we said lost interest and went on.
Yeah.
But, you know, if people are to, like, you know, conversation, say, you ever seen a UFO? That's what I tell them.
Sure.
Because
yeah,
it's a thing in the sky. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. It's literally an object in the sky that's unidentified. I mean, the fact that it wasn't moving is not something man-made that was just taken up by wind, is what I'm kind of getting at.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Gone over that before in my head. Was it a balloon, plane, whatever? Like, no. This thing never moved.
Wow.
And I remember I was excited to bring that up to you just in the hopes that, because people will respond after your episode
yes.
and say, oh, I've seen that before too. It's like, I would love someone to tell me, oh, it's this, because I haven't a clue what I saw as a kid. I just know I saw it. My friend saw it.
I mean, we might get people who have seen something similar. You know, they might not have any answers, but they might have seen something similar.
So, yeah, that's my only UFO story besides my mother telling me about lights, but I've never seen lights or anything. I like to keep an open mind when it comes to the idea of UFOs and aliens, but that's all I've got in the idea of things up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, it comes to a point is what could you say other than I've seen this?
Yeah.
And if I think if you're being honest, like, you don't have any answers. I don't think very many people do. We have guesses. We have ideas, but there's not much more you can say than you know, this is what I saw.
Yeah, and the fact that my friend saw it too, and I remember clearly him at saying, "What is that?" And me being like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like us saying it back and forth, but that's my UFO story. And then I have a couple other things that are like one encounter type things. You have people talk about orbs, lights outside or whatever.
Yeah.
I try not to judge people when they talk about things they've encountered because I keep an open mind. But you get people who will show you like a video and there'll be a dust and they get excited.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you're excited. This is your only thing you've encountered. So cool. But when I think of orbs, I think like you've seen lights outside and little balls of light. I've only ever had one, and it wasn't a little ball. It was a big ball. And I'll explain what I mean. When I was probably around the same age as when I saw the thing in the sky, my parents had their family room had a lofted ceiling. So it was probably a story and a half tall. And I would have friends spend the night and they would come with me into the family room because at nighttime they had a bank of windows on one side that when the light shone from outside inside at just the right angle, it would cast a shadow on the far wall that looked like a person, right? And as kids, we would go up there at like midnight, one in the morning to look at the shadow because we were convinced it was a ghost. And so if one of those nights, my friends and I are standing there, you know, daring each other to go across the family room, which was a, I don't know, 10, 15 foot square room. And we'd stand on one side of the entry and look at the shadow. And we were fifth, sixth grade, too scared to go in, just stand there and look at it.
Right.
That's what we were doing. And out of nowhere, the room lit up with a bright green light. Because up in the lofted part of that room, a transparent orb the size of a basketball came, just burst into existence from one end of the room and flew across the span of the lofted ceiling to the other side where the windows were. And when it hit the windows, just out of existence.
Wow.
So I would say 15 feet. We probably had 5 seconds where we saw this thing shoot across the room.
Oh, wow.
And I can remember it clearly. It was transparent, almost like it was glass, with a light emitting from it. Just sailed across the room and then hit that glass and was gone, and the light was gone, and it didn't go beyond. And I'll talk to people about that, too. You'd be like, I saw this weird thing in my parents' room and, you know, family room. And people will try and guess it, and you know, they'll say ball lightning, or what's that green light people, sailors will see out in the ocean sometimes?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know what you mean. Yeah.
So I've heard those, but I don't know what it was. I call that my orb story.
Yeah, it doesn't. I wouldn't think it would be like northern lights or anything inside.
No.
It's the transparent part is neat. So it was self-illuminating, or did it? I mean, I know it's a long time ago, but do you remember it like casting shadows? Was it that bright?
I never actually thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, it might not have registered as anything, but because they're self-illuminating. It took me a long time before I realized, like, they're not lighting up like the ones I'm seeing at Site 7, for instance. They're not usually, every now and then we'll get one that'll light up stuff around it, but most of the time they're self-illuminating. They're not lighting anything up but themselves. It's a light, but you're not seeing reflections on leaves or trees or anything else. So, again, it was a long time ago for you, and as a kid, just not the kind of detail you're probably taking note of.
Oh, no, I'm not expecting it either. Just suddenly this thing's there.
Mm-hmm. So did you and your friends was that like a scream and run out of the room moment?
Oh, yes. The moment it was gone, we panicked and ran. Mm-hmm. I want to say that it wasn't like there was an LED light inside it, but there was definitely light that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a green, like almost like a lime green.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty big one, too. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, I think maybe some of the ones we're seeing are bigger, but as I've said before, some of them are definitely closer than we thought, so they're not very big. But yeah, I'd like to see one nice basketball size or beach ball size. I've heard some people talk about them.
Yeah, it was crazy, and the fact that it hit the window, and I can remember just seeing that and just it being gone.
Mm-hmm. No sound or anything associated with it.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Just light and the visual, and then... But, I mean, there must have been three of us that night.
Never saw it again?
No. That house had some minor weird activity. We had a kitchen TV that liked to randomly turn on middle of the night. People guessed maybe it was a timer, but it would be different times of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember from that same room in the entryway, you could look through that to the kitchen or down a hallway to the front door. Both of you could look down at the same time. At the end of either of those, where it was the doorway to the dining room and a doorway to the living room. And if you looked down either of those during the day, sometimes you would catch the faintest glimpse of what looked like someone leaving your view of the doorway, mm-hmm. like the back of them. I remember that happened a lot of times in that house.
Huh. Yeah, I think that's a common way people pick up on things a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, just weird little things. It wasn't majorly active home, and it was never anything scary in the home.
Mm-hmm.
But the orb was definitely the big... What in the world was that moment?
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see it, maybe not in my house, but I would like to see
it. Yeah, nothing outside with that one. Can't say I've ever seen lights outside. I think that'd be kind of cool and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, to me, anything outside is somewhat removed. It's not at home. I can leave. I can get in my car and drive home. So I'm cool with anything outside.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so that's the orb, and then you wanted to hear Bigfoot.
Yes,
indeed. That was kind of the next thing I was going to go to. I had it all in my head. I want to do this story. I want to do this story. But I know Tim wants to hear this. And this Bigfoot story, I've only told a couple of people. I get a little leery about talking about that. You know, fear of ridicule, being told you're crazy, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I actually wrote into you for one of your... mini story shows.
Okay.
So you've actually read this. I believe your wife actually read this one on your one of your shows.
Okay. Well, that's awesome, but I also like to hear it in people's own voice, too.
Yes. Yes. But I've told a few people about this one. And this also took place in north central Indiana, Indianapolis region. And I laugh about it because where it happened... makes no sense when you think of Bigfoot.
Okay. No, well, I've heard similar places. Sure. Yeah.
You think Bigfoot, you think out in the woods, and I understand that they live all over the country. I got enough of that. That it's not just the Northwest. So I believe I understand why people would think it's there. I've been there. Big wooded areas to hide. But yeah. So My job and a lot of my encounters happen while I'm working involve me to go all over Indiana, including out of state, Kentucky, Ohio, Illinois, mostly Indiana. But this one had me in, like I said, just north of Indianapolis area. And I was meeting a coworker of mine, actually. He had a customer, and they were getting ready to do a job. This area that I was at was mostly forest, but becoming commercialized. And they were at a office building that was kind of by itself, and they needed me to meet him there because I had some material he wanted. And so this is a Friday afternoon. It's actually the last thing I have to do before I'm done for the day, done for the weekend, right? And I've never been to this spot before, driven past it, but never been to this building, to this location. But he asked me to meet him on the back end of the building where the loading dock is, and that him and his contact, his customer, would meet me there. And it's probably 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and I'm sitting there in my vehicle waiting for him by the loading dock. And there's everyone else is either leaving or have left the building at this time, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm by myself back there. Not a big deal. I'm just sitting in my car, just on my phone waiting. When I get a message that, oh, they're not going to be there for a while longer. Just, it's not a lot of stuff. No one's going to be back there. Just leave the product on the trunk, on the loading dock and go. We'll get it later. And I'm like, okay, no big deal. And to give an idea of this location, I'm facing my vehicle like towards the loading dock, and that's to the east of me. And so the east and north of me is office building. Beyond that, there's east of me is the highway. North of me, there's a couple other commercial buildings. But to the west and south is woods for, I don't know, maybe a mile at least, or wooded area. There's a couple of homes sprinkled in back there. I think it was a farm way out to the west, but mostly not commercialized yet, right? Just empty woods. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't had a problem the whole 15, 20 minutes I've been sitting there. I get out of the car and I stand up. And the moment I stood, I felt it. Just this knee-jerk, head snaps up. I know there's something there, right? There, I am just instantly overcome with a sense of fear and anger. And my first thinking is, there's a person nearby, mm-hmm. right? My brain, the subconscious has picked up danger.
Right.
So I instantly look at the loading dock. Nope, no one there. I look around the parking area that goes around the side of the building. No one there. So I turn and I scan the grassy area between where my car is, because my car is backed up on the edge of the pavement. There's 80 yards of grass and then the woods. I'm thinking, okay, someone's there. No, no one in the grass. So then I scan the wood line because I know something's there. I can feel this intense anger and fear, and I am not alone, and something's mad at me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when I see they went from mowed grass to wild tall grass and trees and bushes. And there in the half shadow of the trees and the bushes and in the tall grass, there is this figure standing there looking, facing me. And the grass was tall enough that it cut off at the hip waist area. And the shadows were deep enough that I could not see the left side of the body entirely. But I could see this giant, I referred to him as like Juggernaut. You've ever seen the X-Men comics?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Huge comics. That hulking figure mm-hmm. shape,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Big body, big shoulder, big arm, big leg. Like that shape. But it is really thin hair, orange hair. And I remember that stood out to me. Why orange? Like orangutan color orange. Yeah, does not make sense. I don't understand why your orangutans are orange, but why orange? But that color, really thin hair, thin enough you can see the tanner skin underneath. So like Juggernaut body with, I always laugh when I get this detail, Donkey Kong color. You know, and that the kind of the chest area you could see was a little more clear.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
If you combine those two characters together, so I see the full arm, I can see the shoulder, I can see half the chest, maybe a little less than half, just the hint of a face, just the hint of an eye and a mouth, and then the body, but you really can't see the waist and down because the grass. And he is standing there looking right at me, right? And I get the feeling that he is showing me just enough deliberately for me to know he is there, he is looking at me, and he is mad that I'm there. He is, I got the gist, and I don't know about if it was the, whatever they call it, the sound that they can make.
Infrasound or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But he was projecting to me, this area used to be more wooded, but now there's buildings coming in, and he's pissed that humans are putting these buildings here, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him, and I'm getting that feeling, and I instantly think to myself, crap, I don't want to look this thing in the eye, because that will just make it more mad. So I lowered my vision, right? And I just got the sensation he's mad at me, and I said out loud, I'm sorry you're mad. I didn't do this. I didn't put this building here. I didn't remove your woods. Just let me do this one thing I have to do here. Put this thing, and I gestured to my trunk where the stuff was, and then I gestured to the loading dock.
Oh, you still have to unload yet?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Let me do this one thing, and I'll leave. I'll leave you alone, and you won't see me again. So I very slowly, still facing that way, go to my trunk, open it, get the handful of stuff that I needed to take, walk the other way, still facing him, over to the loading dock. But then I had to turn away from him to do that. Mm. So I turn, and I quickly put the stuff down, and I quickly turn back. Head is still down, but I can still see the vague idea that he's still there, right? And I risk looking up again fully, and he hasn't moved, except that he's crossed his arms. So I can see the other arm now.
Wow.
And I get back in the car, and I'm like, as I'm getting back in the car, I say, okay, I'm going. I got in the car, and I just very slowly drove out of there, and I left. And the moment I got on the other side of the building, that sensation started to fade. I never saw it move at all. I just know when I looked back, the arms were crossed.
Right, yeah. So it had moved. You just didn't see it move.
Yeah.
What time of year was this?
During the time that I had to turn my back, Tim, I didn't hear nothing, but I got the full sensation that it came right up on me. Like, freaked me out that I turned that. I spun around expecting to find him 5 feet away.
Oh, wow.
But he was still right there.
Wow.
He was still in his original spot.
What time of year was this?
Summer.
And what time of day?
4 or 5 okay. In the afternoon.
So plenty of light in the summer to still, you still see by yet. Yeah, wow.
People could have seen it. I mean, you go around the other side of the building, and there's a highway. There are cars on the highway. Mm-hmm. I have driven on the highway, been able to glance over and see the woods that it was at. In fact, many times I've driven by that spot on the highway and glanced over and thought to myself, are you still there?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd never be able to not do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, years later, it is sadly now gone. That woods has just been completely cleared. There are new office buildings. Mm-hmm. There are still woods farther back, but that section of woods for probably half a mile is just completely removed.
Yeah.
And they're encroaching more into the other woods, pushing, I think there's like a neighborhood going in. They've put a grocery store, strip mall, all that stuff. It's just being slowly eradicated.
Yeah.
But yeah, just that. Oh.
Could you estimate a height?
8 to 10.
That's
I would guess.
I'm imagining, like, even say, like, normal human height, like something at 6 foot with those proportions would be terrifying, right? It's like
Oh.
the juggernaut type proportions. When you expand it upward, that it just becomes like completely frightening. Like, that's completely like intimidating.
Yeah, and I try my best to remember the face, and I really can't. I vaguely remember the hint of an eye, but like really in shadow. Maybe the edge of a mouth, but that's about the best I can give detail for like face-wise. But that arm and that broad chest is holy crap. If that thing wanted to wreck me, it could have.
Yeah, you wonder if it wasn't like, okay, I'm gonna step out of the shadows just enough to show you.
Oh, it wanted me to see it.
Yeah,
It, the moment I stood out of the car and I felt that, and I'm just like, holy crap, what is that? What is pissed at me and why?
wow. Yeah. If I want to rip your arms off, I can. Just to let you know.
Oh, like the fact that I thought it had cleared that distance in seconds, and the fact that I know it could have, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And it's like at that something that big, like get in your car, which you're it'll make short work of your car too.
Yeah, I mean, the moment I got back in the car, I felt better. And the farther I got distance from it, like I said, the sensation started to fade. Probably about 5 minutes after I left, I was back to normal, didn't feel it. But like, oh, if I I would say if I ever felt that feeling again, I'd get freaked out. But I actually have a minor follow-up to that
Oh,
story.
really? Oh, interesting.
So years later, when they were still pushing the woods back, but not completely gone, there was a strip that exact spot still existed for a couple of years, even though they were putting buildings around it. It was just a thin stretch of woods. Like nothing could hide in there, right? And like I said, they put a strip mall in. And in the strip mall, they had a Jimmy John's, sandwich shop with a drive-through. And I had my son who was little at the time of this. Like, the first encounter didn't even have a kid yet. So, this is a couple of years later, and we're in the drive-thru, and I have my window down, and my son is just old enough that he learned how to open his window, right? And we're waiting for our turn to get to the get our food. And my son, just being a kid, lowered the window, leaned his head out the window, and made this yelp. Like playful, he's just goofing around, right? And the moment he made that sound, that anger feeling I got from it the first time just flared back up.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I'm like, I panicked, looked around, and I was like, there's nothing but buildings around me. We're probably sitting a block away from that wood area. Like, there's cars, there's buildings, there are no trees near me. I'm checking the mirrors, I'm looking around, it's like nothing. But I put the windows back up. My son was mad at me that I put the windows up. He wanted down. The moment I closed the windows, the feeling vanished. But I'm just like, oh, you're still here. And my son triggered your anger for some reason. Oh, crap. Yeah. And I didn't see him. But so, like, you talk about the belief that they are interdimensional, that they can shift, right? I don't think he needed all of that land to exist there. I think he could just be there if he wanted. So when my son did that for some reason, he was like, oh, you're back. Oh, okay. I thought you were leaving.
I you know, two of the most active places we go, gazoos and Site 7, are not super isolated. I mean, there's woods there, but it's not like wilderness. We're talking tens of acres, not hundreds.
It's weird. It makes no sense why he was there. It made no sense why that sensation came back years later in a now industrialized area. It was a strip mall now. There was a grocery store directly behind us. There was a gas station, now off to the side of us. So why did that come back? I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, I remember you, and
Yeah. Like, I remember just like, in my head just being like, sorry, 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 closing windows, sorry, sorry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, of course, with your kid there, it becomes more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even scarier. It's things are way more scary if you know, somebody you care about is around. One of the reasons I, people, you know, it's like, hey, take Allison to Site 7. It's like, yeah, I will. But like, it's just different because you feel different. Like, when somebody's there, like, I don't know, I don't have to protect Chad. You know, we've got each other's back. But yeah. if I'm there with Allison, I feel like, in a way, you know, I have to protect her a bit. And if things get really weird, it's going to be worse, I think.
Yeah, I can get that. Like, I'm happy my wife doesn't have, I never encountered anything like that. She has her own weird encounters that she's experienced before, but nothing like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know if you have any questions about that or anything. I know that's your kind of bread and butter.
Oh, I mean, I just love it. And if I hadn't already written Where the Footprints End, that would go in there, certainly. It's a very Where the Footprints End story, which, you know, I love those things. Can I say it was definitely the same thing when you came back the second? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I'm just thrilled. Like, a lot of times people will get these feelings and they'll get these, you know, sort of Class B stuff. Well, I heard something, I got screamed at, but no, I didn't see anything. But for you to get the feeling and then look up and then see something, and something that massive, is that's just a super cool encounter. I mean, I know wasn't probably a good feeling being scared, but
no.
But
no,
you know, for me from here, I'm going, oh, that is so cool.
Looking back at it now, I can say, still with a mixture of complete freak out dread, I can also appreciate the fact that I saw it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not a lot of people get to, like, I've seen things kind of move and seen this and that and thought I saw something, you know, but I've never had any like real confirmation, like where I was 100% sure, yeah, I saw something and that was it. So in that sense, you're lucky. You know, a lot of people are out there for years and never get to see anything, any visual confirmation at all.
I'm lucky that he chose not to do anything besides.
Yeah, yeah, because there have been some really scary stories on Sasquatch Chronicles that kind of start the way yours does and then kind of go south from there.
Yeah, well, I was also lucky that I could leave quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So that's my seeing hit one story. Since listening to you, you've had other guests on who have gone looking. And one of them, Luke, who you had on a couple years ago, he goes looking in southern Indiana. Mm-hmm. And so I heard his story on your show and reached out to him. And we've actually met up in person and we've talked and we've gone down to southern Indiana, I think 3 times now.
Oh, cool.
Over a couple of year period. And then you had another guest, Brian, who also southern Indiana, you had on the show, and we've met up with him last year and we went together. And yeah, they've shown me where they've had encounters and we've gone out and we've had more encounters since then. Because we go down to places where people say they've had activity.
Mm-hmm.
But they stay on the road. They stay on the trails. And we go off the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our encounters have been finding those wood structures.
Okay, yeah.
But, and I know you've talked about it. You've seen them.
Mm, yeah, yeah. I mean,
you go, what, 20, 30 feet off the trail sometimes? And you see a thing. Heck, sometimes if you know what you're looking for, you see them on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, a branch broken the right way that seems to point. You follow that and you find little thing that leads to bigger thing to, well, what is this doing out in the woods? And I've talked to a few people about it, and there have been some doubters who are like, oh, hunters build those things. And I'm like, yeah, but that would require a crane.
Yes.
That was a solid tree upside down, wedged into two other trees that happen to be there. Nature doesn't do that, at least not easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have one, then you look 10 yards away. Oh, there's another. And then you go down the hill a little bit. Oh, there's another, just a little different.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, every time I've gone out with them, at least once, I will say out loud, why? Something's out here doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they doing it?
Yeah.
I'm perplexed.
Yeah, and I get told often, oh, they're bushcraft shelters. Well, they're poor shelters. They're open to the sky. They're not sheltering much of anything. Oh, they're hunting blinds. Again, yeah. Don't really seem to be super useful for that purpose. Every now and then you'll find one maybe that it would just, you could use to sort of just break up, you know, your shape.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I don't really think that's what they are. I don't know what they are, but they seem to be constructed, especially the ones that, I don't know if you've come across them, the ones that seem to be like kind of woven together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those are weird. And the thing that gets me the most, you find the big ones that are woven.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look around and pay attention, there are little ones.
Yes. Yep.
So you had the big guy here making big structure, but then you had little guy practicing?
Maybe. Yeah. I've definitely come across the same thing. Where it's and they're constructed very similarly.
Yes. But it's like a practice run.
Yeah, yeah, or something. I'm absolutely fascinated by them and have very few answers. I have theories, but very few answers.
Yeah, and the last time we went out, we would find these structures, and then we would find a tree nearby that had what we started calling them the walking stick post. It would be four or five branches of walking stick quality leaned up together against a tree near the structures.
Mm-hmm.
And we would find big sticks together. And then one time Brian found one that was a bunch of little ones together.
Hmm.
And we just started calling them walking sticks.
That's interesting. Yes, I've seen that. And the ones where it looks like there's a bunch of sticks of a variety of sizes that they're just kind of laying out like that, like the across another stick, you know, just laying. It's like, what is this? This isn't a lean-to. These are just sticks that are just leaning there.
Or the arrangement of logs laying on top of each other on the ground that make shapes.
I haven't run into too many of those. I've seen people send me photos of those, but personally, I haven't run into too many of those. Are these big?
We find them all over when we go looking. They'll just be on the ground. You'll have a triangle here, square here, A here, X, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just you'll find one, and then there'll be another one and another one, and sometimes they'll intermingle with each other.
Hmm.
And those are weird. My friend Luke, the one that got me into it, he theorizes, he doesn't understand why the shapes are there, but he theorizes they're connected because that's what they're using to easily travel. Because if they connect to each other, they can just run and jump from one to the next to the next to the next.
Okay, so these are pretty big. These are pretty substantial in size.
Yeah, like logs.
Okay. All right. Huh.
Yeah, and like he pointed it out to me last time we were out there last year, and I looked at it and I was like, holy crap, you're right. They're just... And these big, because once you get way into the woods, the bush kind of dies down. It's just more open.
Yeah.
And you'll see them. And they're. Well, if they were running, they could easily jump from that 2 feet there, that one, you know, that goes another 30 feet and then 2 feet to the next one, and on. And then intermingled are these structures. So we've gone out there a couple of times, and occasionally we'll hear something. Like one time we stumbled upon a bunch of these little woven structures you were talking about, and then we found a huge pile of branches just laid out, right? Like condensely laid out. And we were looking at like, what is this? And we came to the theory, is this a nest? So we're kind of standing there looking at it, and maybe 30, 40 yards away, the woods ended, and it was really tall wild grass. Like I could stand in it and vanished. Mm-hmm. You know, and something out there moved the grass, and we heard this weird, I don't even know how to describe the sound, noise of something out there, animal, right? But it was almost like a language. But it was a very quick shake of the grass and noise. And we were like, don't know what that is. We're going to back up type encounter. So we've had that. The last time we went last year, when we found all the logs that looked like paths, we were investigating it. And we started hearing not loud knocks on the trees, but we were hearing more like a tap, 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 tap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we would hear it in front of us. And then we would hear to the left, tap, 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 and then off to the right, tap, tap, tap. And we're standing there just trying to figure out, where is it? Because it's decently open, but it's hilly. So there's little crevices they could be down in or whatever. And we stood there for probably 20 minutes as we realized the tappings are moving. And then at one point, Luke got freaked out because he realized, oh, one of the tapping sounds is now behind us. Mm-hmm. And so we would every once in a while progress a little bit forward. And when we did that, the tapping would move along as well ahead of us. Like mm-hmm. whatever it was just staying out of sight. Mm-hmm. And I remember we probably did that for like 20 minutes, progress a little, stop, hear the tapping, try and figure out where they are, move a little more. And then out of nowhere, off to our right and down the hill, this crow just starts going nuts. Like calling like there's no tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. And he does that for a couple of minutes and all the tapping stops. And we move forward and we can hear the crow moving along off in the distance. The location of the crow has changed as we moved. Still freaking out, like no tomorrow, mm-hmm. but no more tapping. And that went on for a couple of minutes and then they finally stopped. And then all the tapping stopped and the complete vibe we had in the area just gone. And we pushed forward a little more down a hill and up the next hill. And then all the structures were gone for pretty much. And we never encountered anything else the rest of that day.
Yeah.
But wherever we went that day, and we walked into something that was their area, and they were not happy we were there, or they were very curious we were there. I'm not sure. But they were very much aware and very much around us.
Yeah, that I think people talk about wood knocks, and because of finding Bigfoot and everything, people were thinking these massive, you know, baseball bat smacks against trees or whatever. And you know, I do believe I heard that at Pandemonium, but more often I think you get those tapping kind of sounds.
Yeah, it's like a knuckle almost on the wood.
Yeah, I don't exactly know how they're doing it, but yeah, it sounds like it's like a tapping.
And yeah.
I'm thinking of that day Octavian and I were at Gazoo's, and it literally walked with us all day long. I mean, we were there for hours, and it was always that tapping was with us, just out of sight everywhere we went.
Yeah, that was weird. That was the same day that we found a log up in a tree, like a pretty substantial log. Like we would have trouble lifting it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of balanced up there.
Yeah, in the branches.
Yeah.
I don't remember if we took pictures or not of it, but I remember that was the moment where I just stopped and I looked around in the empty woods with my two friends and I just like said out loud, I'm like, why? Yeah. Why did you do this? This makes nature doesn't do that.
Right. Yeah.
No animal would bother to do it.
Yeah. Upside down trees, these other trees or logs or whatever balanced in like weird precarious ways on trees, and these things that are woven together again off trail. This isn't, I've run into stuff that kids have built. You know, kids have tried to build teepees and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen those before, too. We have a couple of local wooded areas that people go in, and you'll see them.
Yeah.
You know, Boy Scouts did a thing for it.
And you can kick them down pretty easily, most of them. Mm-hmm. These things that are woven together have structure. They're built. They're like, you have to, like, if you wanted to tear them apart, you could, but you'd have to work at it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, they're really interesting. And they're, at least as far as I can tell, they're kind of built. There's different materials each time and they're different sizes. So they're not exactly the same, but they seem to be woven together in very similar ways, the ones I see. So it's like they have a, whatever is making these, and I've never seen anyone or anything make it, so I can't say. Yeah. Whatever is making them is using similar techniques, you know, in different areas.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, way out in the woods, you would, some of them, you would need a crane to pick up a log. And it's like, no one's taking a crane out here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was kind of on the fence about these stick structures and stuff until it was the first time I ever hiked alone in Michaux. And I was going up the side of a mountain and I saw there was two of them right there. And I'm looking at these things. I'm like, it was a one like you're talking about. It had like basically a tree balanced in another tree.
Mm-hmm.
With the, it was just, and it was done in such a way that like you would need ladders and like several men. And I'm like thinking like no one is bringing a work crew up here to make a dumb tree structure on the side of a mountain. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's not happening. And there's no way this was natural. Like, it was just.
Yeah. Like, maybe nature did that, but that's a really far fetched one in a million.
Maybe nature did one, but to have two right next to each other that are pretty much exactly the same. I'm like, what? Like, no, something made A and then they made B to match A or vice versa. And yeah, it's just there. And that's what really convinced me when I was there that day. I was looking at him like, no. This didn't just fall this way.
And then you stop and you look around and you realize whatever yards away, there is a perfectly healthy tree that has been bent at a 90 degree angle, pointing at the thing you just found.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then you look a little bit further, there's another one pointing that way. And you're just like, okay, so you've left landmarks to find this thing. That's even creepier, just that they're leaving markers for each other.
I have theories, but no proof, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just that it's just you kind of look at it and you're just what.
But I know also when we go into these areas, that's where we'll start to get stuff sometimes, like we'll start to hear the tapping or we'll start to hear other weird calls, and the owls will start going off in the middle of the day and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I've not heard the owl. I try and listen for them now. We have heard the blue jay going off right before activity happens.
Interesting.
That's happened a couple of times now. I actually, just earlier this year, I was in a place in southeastern Indiana, out in the middle of nowhere. I was going to meet a customer. We work a lot with, my job does a lot of construction and works with house flippers. And I was supposed to be meeting a gentleman that was going to be flipping this old home way out in the middle of nowhere up on top of this hill. And I get there and it's steep old hill, and you get to the top, and right as you get to the top of the hill, there's a private cemetery with a wrought iron fence around it. So that was my first indicator, this place is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go around a bend to get to the house, which was like a log cabin that had been retrofitted and added onto and retrofitted and added onto multiple times. And of course, he's not there. And I, you know, waited for a while and he never showed up. And he finally just was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll come to you later. Oh, okay. Well, but whatever. And I turned to leave. And just as I turned to get back in my vehicle to leave, because I had gotten out just curiosity looking at the house, because I love architecture. I love to see old homes and, you know, try and stand on the outside and figure out how did this connect to this, how, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful old that was needing a facelift. So thank goodness the guy's there. And as I'm turning to get back in my car, I hear a blue jay go off. And this is right as winter is ending. So Blue Jays are just coming back. And the atmosphere went from normal, slightly cloudy day to kind of that feeling of this place had gotten a little weird, if you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just enough for the hair to go up on the back, you know, your arms and everything. And I look around. I don't see anything. So I get back in my vehicle and I go to leave. And I go back down that bend to the hill and the graveyard. And as I get there, and there's been no one else around the whole time. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. There is a dead cat in the middle of the road. I am almost 100% sure it wasn't there when I pulled in. I am almost 100% sure I didn't hit the cat. Mm-hmm. I think I would know if I hit the cat. But there's a dead cat in the middle of the road. I mean, one, sad, because dead cat.
Yeah.
But two, freaked out, because dead cat next to cemetery.
Yeah, I think this is a patron episode, so I don't think I ever talked about it on the main show. I was in Hex Hollow one day last year. I hadn't been there for a long time. I was hiking by myself, and I heard wood knocks. It's weird. I was in this one place where I'd found, like, rocks shoved into, like, the crotch of these trees before.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I went to see if they were still there, and I came by, and they weren't. And I thought, well, I'm gonna replace them. I'm going to put them back in, because I remembered which tree it was. And I put one of these rocks back, and as soon as I did, I heard a wood knock. Now, this was a louder, like a clack, real loud.
Yeah.
So I turned the recorder on, and I'm just, I always have the recorder with me for capturing weird sounds, and never know when I get to make a little bit of content. So I'm talking to the recorder. I'm like, wow, you know, patrons, I knew it was going to be a patron thing. I was like, I don't know if I caught it or not, but there was a wood knock. As I'm talking, you could hear another one, which I did catch. And I'm like, yeah, this is really weird, and I'm going to kind of make my way out of here. I don't want to go back in the direction the knocks were. I'm gonna head out the other way, and I'm going down the path, and right there, maybe 20 yards later, there's a dead cat right in the middle of the path. Yeah, it was so disturbing, and I'm like, now do I step over the dead cat or do I walk back towards the knocks? I eventually just decided to, you know, walk around the cat. But
yeah,
I took photos of it. It didn't look old. It didn't look injured in any way. I could find no wounds on it. It was not a coyote kill as far as I could tell, because they would definitely eat it.
Yeah, or it'd be a lot more messy, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like it keeled over right in the middle of the path right there.
Yes.
Odd. It was really weird. And, you know, to put it with the wood knocks, it shook me. It really shook me that day.
Oh, I bet. Just by yourself out in the woods hearing that. Oh.
Yeah.
Something is there with you and you can't see it and you don't know what it wants.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just the you know, my history with that place isn't the best anyway. And then just to have this dead cat, I'm just like, really? Is this what we're doing today?
Like, Oh, no. Yeah. I get that. Like, I think mine, I didn't get out and look at it. I just kind of angled the wheels so they would go on both sides of it. And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time to leave.
Don't know why this is here. Don't know what you guys want, but I'm a going.
Yeah.
I think that once again may have just said it out loud. It's like, yep, I'm leaving. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't always want to ascribe like negativeness to it, but it's almost like it doesn't understand like human emotions. I'm saying it, I just mean generally like the other, whatever these things are that are interacting with us. I don't know.
Yes.
It's like they don't understand our emotional language and the idea that there would be, it's seeing me pick up skulls and like dancing happy. And then it's like, well, why doesn't he want the dead cat? You know what I mean? It's like that it just doesn't get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't get why that would be an issue for us. Like, and again, this is just me placing thoughts and feelings on something that I don't know if that's what's happening or not, but that's the feeling I get. Like, it wasn't necessarily like, I'm going to spook you out and scare you by putting a dead cat here. It was more like, don't you want this? And then it's, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, like a pet cat when it brings the dead mouse, you know, it's like, oh, gross. You know, not going to clean up a dead mouse, but the cat thinks it's done a great thing. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Cat's like, well, look what I brought you. It's almost had that kind of feeling. Like, don't you want this? And like, nah, I don't want that.
But yeah, it's just the whole encounter, just the fact that I heard the Blue Jay and I've heard him enough times that my brain was just like, wait, that was a Blue Jay.
Yeah.
Vibe changing.
I wonder if there aren't different, again, different symbols and languages the other uses for different people. Like for Chad, Chad is very much cardinal. He's always like, for him, it's cardinals mean something. Their symbol is something. I love cardinals, but for me, they're not, they're just cardinals. You know, I mean, for me, it's more crows and owls. But yeah, I wonder if like it doesn't use these symbols to sort of speak to us, and if it's just like, oh, this guy recognizes that, so this is what we'll use to communicate with him. I don't know. Again, it's just a theory.
Yeah, I don't get it. But yeah, I've had lots of weird encounters while out and about, and I don't know how much time we have left to go into all that. But I did want to bring up one other thing, at least tonight.
Sure.
I'm not a big subscriber to the idea that every dream means something, but I don't dream a lot. But I've heard other people on your show bring up dreams, and there was a woman you had on a while ago, and she talked about a dream, a reoccurring dream she had as a child, where she lived out in the country. In her dream, there was a gentleman in a truck wearing a hood that she tried to avoid. I forget all the details she used, but that snapped a memory from my childhood dreams into my, you know, that I'd forgotten. And I'd forgotten that I'd had a reoccurring dream of my suburban neighborhood where I would be always on the road jogging, and I would always have at least two other people that I knew, family or friend, with me. And we're in my neighborhood, broad daylight, of trying to evade a thing. And most times I would go the entire dream not seeing it, but a couple of times we would catch glimpses of a man in an old-timey like silver truck, like pickup truck, you know, the kind that they would use like deliveries that had the enclosed back trunk, driving that, hanging his head and arm out the window while he drove and wearing a black hooded cloak.
Huh.
And she described that character in her dream, and my brain was just like, oh, I know that guy.
Oh, wow.
Like I had forgotten it until she described him. And like a part of my subconscious was like, oh, we know this guy.
Hmm.
We dreamt of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was driving. I listen to your show usually while I'm on the road, and it gave me chills on the road. I'm just like, oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah, that. Some of these characters are popping up in people's dreams, unconnected, it seems.
Yeah.
But we haven't had one in a while, but for a while we were getting that run of those people that they had like, I call him the nightmare creature. I don't know. They said he kind of looked like Green Goblin from Spider-Man, but with like yellow skin, real sickly looking thing. And once I had, the one guy was on, he was telling a story, and suddenly like two or three other people were like, yeah, I dream about that thing.
Oh, that's creepy. Yeah. Yeah, like people talk of like a reoccurring, like the Hat Man or whatever they'll see at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that's just weird. I mean, I get people, you know, some people will probably hear stories and get influenced to see them themselves, but I believe most of them are probably genuinely encountering.
Yeah, because
similar thing.
These are people that are writing in and are shocked. They're like, I can't believe someone else has seen this. You know, I've dreamed about this for blank however many years. So yeah, I believe it's, if it's not the same thing, it's something on the order of Flannel Man, where there's people are seeing similar things that have the same characteristics.
Yeah, I don't know what the Flannel Man is. I've never, in my memory, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the people who say they have.
Oh yeah.
I believe that some of them encountered him in weird places that he should not be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird one. But yeah, so I had that dream memory jarred from your show from my childhood. But I've had a reoccurring dream that has gone for years. And I actually had, and I can go a while without having it. And I recently had a new one, and I kind of cataloged them in my head. Like I said, I don't usually put much stock in the dreams. But I have this one reoccurring different dream, but I know it's the same place. And I call it the mansion because I dream of this building. That's a nice building. Most of the time, it's in a nice part of the building. And it has... This building can't exist in real life. If it exists in real life, it is one of the biggest private residences ever existence, right? Because every time I dream of it, I'm in a different part of the mansion. But I always know in my dream, I'm in the mansion. Sometimes I'm by myself. Sometimes I'm with one other person. We are usually either exploring it, just walking casually through it. Sometimes I have a task I'm doing, like turning on lights or something like that, something simple. But every time I dream of it, I know without a doubt, one, I am in the mansion. I know for a fact I am supposed to be in the mansion, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not intruding. I am supposed to be there. I know for a fact that there are other people somewhere in the building. I'm not alone in this building and that I'm not in any danger in the building. Mm-hmm. Like, I am supposed to be here. The other people are supposed to be there. We are all here for some reason. But I have had dreams of grand, large hallways just completely crowded with light, like lamps and candles that, you know, I'm turning on or lighting. I have dreamt of staircases that crisscross going multiple floors. I have dreamt of simple back hallways. I once dreamt of a giant gym that was connected to it. But I know they are all the same place. Mm-hmm. But the last one I had was only a month ago, and it was of multiple fairly large classrooms with windows on all sides facing into the hallway or facing out into the dark night.
Huh.
I do not understand it. I just... Like I said, every time I dream of it, I know it's the same place. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm not alone there.
Yeah.
I would love to have a dream interpreter take a shot at that one.
Yeah. Well, you might get some. You might get some.
I would love it. I would. At this point, I have. I only really have told my wife about it, and she has no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that I... Again, I've talked about on the show, I have a place I go to repeatedly in a recurring dream, sort of a school that's like mostly underground. And I've talked about it before, and someone contacted me like, I dreamed about that place too. And we started sharing, details. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, like, who can say, but I'm pretty sure we're describing the same place.
That's trippy.
Yeah. I was like, well, what does it look like here? He's like, well, it looks kind of like this. And I mean, it's to the point where I know the surroundings of this place. Mm-hmm. I know what it looks like around it. If I ever drive by this place or get near it, I'm going to freak out. So I'm like, I'm going to know exactly where I am. But it may not exist at all. It may be, you know, similar to what you're saying. But
I 100% understand that. If this place actually existed and I found it, I would freak. I'd be like, no, this building can't physically exist here.
Yeah.
Oh, the fact that you have that as like, and someone else, oh, that's weird. That's a like exciting, but the part of your brain tells you that it's completely wrong.
Yeah. Well, I had that guy on, with that, who wrote that book Nightmare Land, and he was talking about shared dreams on that.
Yeah.
And so I guess it happens, but it seems like such an odd thing. Like people are, because these are like lucid dreamers that were kind of meeting up in dreamland. It's like, what? Oh, like, wow. Yeah. Like the implications of that are incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've had a couple of lucid dreams where I'm like halfway through and realizing I'm in a dream, you know, and you go fly for 5 minutes or whatever before you wake up.
Oh, wow.
I've never actually been able to like control that.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not like I think I'm just too ready to believe anything that comes at me. I'm too credulous. So if I'm in a dream and something weird happens, I'm like, oh, okay, that's, you know, yeah, sure, yeah. Bigfoot should be sleeping in my sister's room. Cool. Seems right. So yeah, it's, I don't know. It's I would like to. I would love to experience that, but I've not experienced that yet.
Yeah.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
As far as I'm aware, and I actually was thinking about it, like I know you ask people, mm-hmm. as far as I'm aware, I have not. Mm-hmm. I have had multiple experiences of things in my room at night that I have woken up to. I have had times where I didn't move, but I am fairly certain that I didn't move under my own free will.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like the mentality that if I don't move, if it doesn't know I'm awake, maybe it'll leave me alone type mentality.
Do you have time to tell us about a couple of these?
I could go on for a while. The stories I've told you are of the categories that I have little encounter with. My experiences with ghosts, spirits, nature spirits, that is a multitude. I have been an experiencer my entire childhood.
Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Give us one thing you've woken up to, and then let's schedule another talk, and we'll get into the rest of your encounters.
Fair enough. That's fair. I'm trying to think. So one of them that comes to mind, because it almost makes me laugh, but it was terrifying at the same time. I woke up one night to an entity, and we talk all the time about the blacker than black. They're so dark that in a dark room, you can see them because their outline is there. This thing, I would define guy, so I'll call him guy. This guy was so tall that he had to hunch over, that his arms were so long that his knuckles rested on the floor. And everything about him was black, except the eyes. The eyes were white, like glowed.
Wow.
And they were pretty well spaced apart, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember just waking up to him, not standing directly over me, but in the room, a little ways down the side of my bed, like towards the end where my feet were, but kind of in that corner area of my room, just standing there, just looking at me. So I wake up to these eyes looking at me, just towering over me. And like I said, I've had enough experiences of waking up to things in my room that I used to be terrified of them. And I've gotten to the point now where I wake up to them and I'm like, oh, there's something else in my room.
Wow.
So I'll sigh and I'll very politely, and my wife knows I'll do this. She's heard me do it. I will just say out loud to them with politeness, because you don't know what it is, but with a little bit of authority, because you want it to listen to you. Hey, I don't want you in my room right now. I am trying to sleep. Could you please not be here? This is my house. This is my room. This is my space. I don't care if you go outside. You can be out there all you want, but this is my area. This is my family's area. Could you please leave? And the thing stared at me for a minute and then just very silently, no sound, very slowly, while kind of like that gorilla movement where they use the knuckles to walk, hunched over, very slowly just walked out my door. And I've never seen him again.
Wow.
But yeah, just waking up to him and just being like, oh, I didn't move the whole time he was there. Mm-hmm. I knew I could, though.
Yeah, yeah. And a number of people listening will be like, well, you were dreaming. But you know, I always go on the witnesses, right? So you know you were awake.
Oh, very much aware that I was awake.
Yeah.
And then after he left, and you know, I gave it a minute just to be like, you're not coming back, right? Mm-hmm. You know, part of me thought maybe I should follow him out.
Wow.
Make sure he left.
That would be interesting. Wow.
I was tempted. And I have actually had a few times where there have been entities in my room that did not leave when I politely asked them to leave. And I have gotten up, because I am to the point now where I've encountered these things so many times that I've gotten out of my bed and like confronted, like stepped towards them.
Wow.
Because those things don't expect you to do that. Mm-hmm. They will F the write-off.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, they don't want to be confronted. They want to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little too much preachy talky.
No, this is an interesting preview for a second conversation. this is good.
Yeah, I have had times where I'm just like, look, dude, it's 3 a.m. I get up in a couple hours. I want sleep. Go. And they don't go. And I'm like, fine. And I'll just get angry enough that I get up because I'm pissed, because I'm tired. And it's like, get out. Huh. And I'll step towards it. And those things will just fade into the shadow of the room.
Wow.
They'll back up because they aren't expecting you to. These things want, like I said, they want to be in control. They want you to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And if they suddenly realize, oh, I am not in control of this guy anymore.
Interesting. Oh, so yeah. Interesting. All right, John, we're going to get more of your stories at another time. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. I will probably lose track if you ask me about more of those because I've had so many.
Oh, I'm super interested. Okay. Well, we will talk about that another time. Thank you for sharing your stories, and we'll talk to you again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. There's no Curiosity of the Week this week because I went out to look for Bigfoot and got home late, so Allison went to sleep. We will be back with another Curiosity of the Week next week, but you can always check out what we have for sale at Etsy. Etsy shop name is Lost Grave, but if you go to Etsy and you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. We have Strange Familiars t-shirts, stickers, patches. We've got copies of my books. All of my books are there, including the new art book, Elzik's Farewell, the new Stone Breath CD, Grays and Orphans, which has the Strange Familiars theme on it, the full theme. I don't think it's ever been played on the show except for patrons. Plus a lot more music on there as well, rarities and unreleased things. You can get Entity Drift, the CD that is the ambient music I created for Strange Familiars, and much more. Again, our Etsy shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. Supporting us on Etsy is another way to support the show, so thanks everybody who has done that. All right, we'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Howler Arts. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music by Stone Breath, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. The new CD, Grays and Orphans, is there, of course, as is Entity Drift. And if you want to pick up Elzik's Farewell, the new art book, you can get that on Bandcamp as well. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars. Where you can join the Strange Familiars Gathering group. We're on Instagram at Strange Familiars, one word, and you can find us on the web at strangefamiliars.com.
Dust of the passing years, sand of the falling tide, salt of the rolling tide, ash of the fading light. Now it settled all on the winding path we tread. Still, it cannot tarnish or dull the silver thread. Stones, white are the sunlit bones, black is the heavy earth, bent is the scarecrow's way. Now, all are gathered beneath our searching feet. Both rhyme and reason are defined as we see. Snow, twist in the gentle breeze, rise on the gathering wind, fly like a falling leaf. And we are given songs all in the cold dark night, but who is listening far beyond the fading light?
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.